Why does God care if we rest? This is the question that our readings ask this morning, which are all about the Sabbath, a topic that's at the heart of the Jewish tradition, which was, of course, Jesus's tradition. We will come back to this question, and we're going to start, actually, with a scene from contemporary life. Stick with me. The scene, the year is 2008, and the setting is the offices of Deloitte, an international consulting firm. The employees in the office noticed that one of the young interns in the marketing department was behaving strangely. At first, she seemed fine enough, even if she didn't seem to be doing very much work. Increasingly, the intern sat at her laptop and stared off into space, and when her coworkers asked her what she was doing, she had nothing to say and continued staring. One day, she rode the elevator between floors for hours, saying nothing. Her coworkers and higher-ups grew increasingly flustered about this situation, sending urgent emails back and forth that something needed to be done about the intern in the marketing department. Only a couple of top executives at the company knew that the intern was actually the Finnish artist Pivli Takala. I'll say her name again, Pivli Takala. She's a Finnish artist, and she had staged this whole performance. She titled the work The Trainee. Takala is a performance artist. Her work focuses on what types of things make people uncomfortable and why. Call it performance art, call it a stunt, call it a prank. Takala's time as a Deloitte marketing intern underscores a collective discomfort that our culture has with being still. It's not like Takala's doing nothing at the office was a unique thing. People slack off at work all the time. But the interesting thing about Takala's stunt was that people had this immense discomfort with the openness of her doing nothing. Even if one were to be, say, staring off into space at the office, it's customary to at least appear busy when a coworker walks by. Sabbath. Sabbath is not about doing nothing, but it is about stopping our work. The word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word sabbat, meaning to stop. God commanded his children, the Israelites, to simply stop whatever they were doing and remember him, and remember that he had delivered them from bondage in Egypt. Not working isn't just counterintuitive, it's countercultural. And for some people, it is impossible. We live in a world where the very act of not racing ahead can make one feel that they are already behind. For the middle and upper classes, busyness can be a status symbol. Sometimes that is inflicted on our overscheduled children. And for those making a minimum wage, which in North Carolina is $7.25 an hour, economic survival does not permit a day of rest. The congregation at La Sagrada Familia, which is in the Diocese of East Carolina, is comprised of many migrant farm workers who make $7.25 an hour and who must go back out to the fields to harvest food immediately following the church service. But God wants us to stop, all of us, to stop and look backwards from where we came. It's interesting, isn't it, that word backwards? We use that term backwards sometimes as a political insult, or to describe rural areas where Amazon delivery drivers wouldn't be able to complete a same-day delivery, say, on a Sunday. But God cares that everyone gets rest, not just some of us. It's the fourth commandment, right up there with do not murder and do not steal, is to observe the Sabbath day, a 24-hour period of intentional rest that's meticulously observed by Orthodox Jews all around the world, beginning at sunset on Friday night and ending at nightfall on Saturday. The Sabbath does not happen by itself. In some Jewish households, preparations begin way ahead of time. Meals are cooked, emails and texts are answered, phones are turned off. Laws prohibiting work on the Sabbath day are extensive. Jews in Jesus' day, for example, typically would not light a fire, speak about work, conduct business, travel for more than 500 yards. Other prohibitions included drawing water into a vessel to drink, carrying anything into or out of a house, assisting an animal that was giving birth. You can tell that the rabbis were men because one of the laws is picking up a child, or picking up food that had fallen into a field. Now, rabbis have updated these teachings over the centuries to adapt to our times today. And Jews and Gentiles alike have expressed exasperation sometimes at the rigor of these Sabbath laws, perceiving them as occasionally of just a list of rules for the sake of piety. The fact is, though, taking a full day of rest, as God commands, is only possible because of these rules. And it's not just a list of thou shall not do this and thou shall not do that. No. In the same way that God commands the people not to work, the traditional teaching is that the Sabbath day include feasting and singing and sleeping. Psalm 81 is all about this. That's a psalm we just read together. And I encourage you to go back and read it at some point today because it is amazing. The secular Jew and journalist, Liz Harris, wrote a book about her experience staying with a Hasidic Jewish family in Queens, New York. It's in her book called Holy Days. And Harris expresses her own frustrations at, for example, why God would care if one uses a microwave on a Friday night or not. She shares her questions with her hosts, a Hasidic Jewish family. One of her hosts explains to Harris that, quote, when we don't operate machines or pick flowers or pluck fish from the sea, when we cease interfering in the world, we are acknowledging that it is God's world. Resting acknowledges that we are not in control. It has always been difficult to acknowledge that God controls this world, of which you and I are just a small part. The Israelites, for one, had to receive the Ten Commandments twice. Moses first gave the Ten Commandments to the Israelites when Israel had just been freed from slavery. They were all camped out at the base of Mount Sinai, and Moses came down the mountain and let the people know that God had commanded everyone to rest on the Sabbath day because God had rested after 6 days of creation. This account is in Exodus. The second time Moses gave the Ten Commandments to the Israelites, it was to the second and third generations who were still journeying through the wilderness, still trying to reach the promised land. In this instance, which our reading from Deuteronomy today recounts, the rationale is different for rest. God wants people to observe the Sabbath day, this time to remember that God rescued them and their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents from slavery in Egypt. To stop and look back would have been completely counterintuitive to the Israelites in the wilderness. They were trying to get to the promised land. They would have wanted to look more and more towards the good things that were allegedly to come, not necessarily remembering the back-breaking slavery that Pharaoh subjected them to. The last thing they would have wanted to do is stop for a full day, once a week. As the artist Pivli Tokala demonstrated, many of us have this deep, deep discomfort with being still. Now, to be clear, I'm not suggesting that we observe an Orthodox Jewish Sabbath, and I'm not suggesting that anyone do nothing at the office or at school, but of course Christianity has its own Sabbath tradition, something that was reshaped by Jesus and his followers. The reading from the Gospel of Mark this morning recounts how Jesus walked through the grain fields with his disciples, plucking grain, which was forbidden by the Jewish law. And the keepers of the law confront Jesus about this, to which he replies that the Sabbath day was made for humankind, not the other way around. By the way, this was a Jewish saying at the time and still is, and it's not an original saying from Jesus. Then Jesus said that he was the Lord of the Sabbath and proceeded into the temple and healed that man with the withered hand. This healing act in the temple on the Sabbath day and his proclamation that he was Lord of the Sabbath is what set things in motion for Jesus to be arrested. Jesus was not doing nothing. He was teaching and he was healing. His, his Sabbath, his reconfiguration of Sabbath, was bringing the love of God's new creation to earth. So why does God care if we rest? God wants us to remember that our ancestors were once slaves in Egypt. God wants us to remember that some of his children still live in bondage. Rest is not about taking time away so that we can be better workers when we come back. Jesus came to show us that Sabbath rest is about restoration. Let's take a cue from the man with the withered hand in the temple. This man with the withered hand actually allowed himself to be healed. He partook in this act of healing that was forbidden. He came forward. He stretched out his hand to Jesus, the gospel says. Because of his condition, we might imagine, he would have had a very realistic grasp on his own limitations, and he would have known that he needed God to intervene. He allowed the Lord of the Sabbath to heal him. The desires of the human heart and the human body are limitless, but we are so limited. Sabbath rest is about finding stillness for the withered hands of our souls so they can be restored by Jesus. Jesus wants us to remember him all the time, which we're not very good at. So we are commanded to stop and look backwards at the sacrifice of his life and death and resurrection and be nourished by the Eucharist and really experience that healing in our own lives. So as we go from here today, I suggest we do the following. Turn off our phones. Remember what God did for the Israelites and what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Pluck grain. Feast. Feed the hungry. And be healed. Amen.